Let me ask you a question. Has it ever happened that someone has spoken about you? I remember I was a student in college, studying for the ministry. I'd just gotten back from vacation when somebody said, "Oh, you're here." I said, "Yeah, I am here. What do you mean?" They said, "Well, we'd heard that you were way off in another city." "In another city?" "Yeah, 1,000 miles away." "What for?" "Well, we heard that your girlfriend was pregnant and you had run away." I was shocked. I didn't have a girlfriend. I couldn't believe it. Well, it turned out that the young man who had done this, his name was Ron, but it was the wrong Ron. Fortunately, thank the Lord. I was a theology major, as I told you. Got to share with you another experience. My father, who was a pastor, was doing ingathering, Brother Otto, and one day he went to the grocer where he normally collected his ingathering, and as he walked into the store, the lady behind the counter said, oh, Mr. Green, I don't know what his name was, but he's in the other store." My dad said, "The other store, you know, fine." He was about to leave, the lady said, "No, you can go behind the counter." My dad said, "Okay," so he went behind the counter into the other store. It happened to be a liquor store. Well, my dad said, "I've come for my annual ingathering appeal." And the man said, "Fine, here's the money." And then he said, "Oh, by the way, you don't have to go back through the counter, you can just go out this door here." And my dad, of course, hadn't come in that door, and he didn't know there was a step off the edge. And as he walked out, my dad stumbled out of the liquor store. And folks, as the devil would have it, at that precise moment, you've heard of divine appointments? Well, these are diabolical appointments. Because at that very moment, a church member happened to be driving by. And the first thing my dad heard about the fact that he was drunk, stumbling out of a liquor store, was when the president of the conference contacted him and told him to come in for an interview. Rumors, huh? Rumors. You know, I thought about that and I realized sometimes there is truth in them. Isn't it true? But there's just enough truth in some of these things, what I call tantalizingly twisted truth. Did you hear that? There's a little bit of truth. My name was Ron. Yes, it is true. It was a different Ron. Tantalizingly twisted truth. That was correct. However, it was twisted and it was tantalizing, which was why, of course, there was this problem. Tantalizingly twisted truth. That's rumors. Today I want to spend a little time on the problem of speech. But before we do that, let's pause for prayer. Lord, we pause in your presence today, realizing that the tongue has tremendous power, either for good or for evil. Bless us now as we reflect. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll remember what had happened. The slaves had been set free through a dazzling display of God's greatness, and they had now traveled. They were on their way. The millions had marched through the Red Sea that had been parted miraculously, and now they were on the other side, victorious. God was so good. But don't forget, there were tests, there were trials, there was trouble. You remember what happened? How the people complained? All of these things had taken place. And right now, today, we're going to look at chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12, where we pick up the story of the Israelites on their way to the promised land. They were on their way to Canaan. And right smack bang in the middle of this story, Numbers chapter 12 appears. Numbers chapter 12, and I'm reading again from the New King James Version. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. By the way, I'd just like to read the first 7 words of Numbers 12, verse 1. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses." Stop right there. Miriam and Aaron, who were they? His sister and his brother. This was what we call adult sibling rivalry. Okay, they weren't children anymore. These were adults. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Think about it. Miriam. Why Miriam? By the way, there's a reason. It says Miriam. As I look through all the references, and you can check in your Bible, whenever Miriam is named with Aaron or with Aaron and Moses, Miriam is never placed first, even though she was the oldest, possibly by 12, 15 years. Remember, she was the one, she was the protector of Moses when he was a baby, Exodus chapter 2. Remember, she was a prophet with Moses, Exodus chapter 15, Micah chapter 6 verse 4 confirms that. And now, from protector of Moses, right, to prophet with Moses, Miriam goes down to protagonist against Moses in Numbers chapter 12. Miriam is mentioned first. And if you go to the Hebrew text, very fascinatingly, in the Hebrew language, the Hebrew doesn't say, and Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses. Do you know what the Hebrew text says? And Miriam, she spoke. Did you know that? And she spoke. The verb is first. And she spoke, that is, Miriam. Oh, and Aaron. Fascinating. So the language, the order of the names, as well as extra-biblical confirmation. In the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 384, it says, yes, it was Miriam who was the one who was promoting this. Miriam, the protector of Moses, yes. The prophet with Moses, yes. But now she had gone to the other side and she was a protagonist against Moses. Amazing. Here was a prophet, a poet, a leader, a teacher, a musician, and she had become a murmurer. Wow, it is so easy for even leaders to slip into this problem. Any one of us. Miriam, what a sad story. You know, just a week ago, those of us who have been reading in our Reading Through the Bible series, I got home on Sabbath and Saturday night I was reading my Sabbath reading. And as I read it, I couldn't believe it, because here it was, Exodus chapter 23. I know it was last Sabbath, our reading, so turn to it quickly. And as I opened the Bible, I said, isn't this amazing? Next Sabbath, I said, I'm going to be speaking about the problem of speech. And that very Sabbath, our reading for last Sabbath was Exodus 23. And the very first verse says, you shall not circulate a false report. I thought, wow, isn't that incredible? Other translations say, like the contemporary English version, don't spread harmful rumors. Or as the Message paraphrase says, don't pass on malicious gossip. And when I think of that, folks, I want to pause and just jump quickly to the book of James. James chapter 1. We'll come back to Numbers in a minute. But let's skip over to James chapter 1. Here is a book, a very practical book that I would challenge you to read in addition to your regular Bible reading we've been engaged in here in this church. I'd encourage you to read James because it's a very short book, just five chapters, written by, we believe, the half-brother, step-brother of Jesus himself. And James deals a lot with this issue. More than any other Bible writer, James warns about the unruly tongue. James chapter 1 verse 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1, verse 26. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Wow. Did you hear that? Strong words. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Now, James recognizes that it's hard to control the tongue. Skip to chapter 3. Here he has a whole section, 12 verses, in which James recognizes the incredible power of the tongue and the powerlessness of human beings to control it. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Notice, James doesn't say God cannot control your tongue. No, man, you cannot control your own tongue. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And then James makes this appeal. My brethren and my sisters, these things ought not to be so. It reminds us of David, doesn't it? Psalm chapter 141, verse 3. If you can turn there quickly, Psalm 141, verse 3. David is very practical. He realizes his own inability. And so he says, Psalm 141, verse 3, a well-known one. Some of you could probably say it by heart. Psalm 141, verse 3, the Psalm of David. David says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." The New Century Version puts it simply, "Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say." Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Oh, yes. It's so hard to control the tongue. Let's go back now to Numbers chapter 12, the story of Miriam. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. The protector, the prophet, had become a protagonist. The sister had become an enemy. Unfortunately, of course, Aaron had listened and Aaron joined her. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's read after those seven words. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Then Moses and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Why? Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Wow. Ethiopian woman. By the way, some have speculated, did Moses' first wife Zipporah die? Did he marry a second woman? Was Moses a polygamist? But when we look a little further and we look at the geography and we look at Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 7, there in Hebrew poetry, Midian and Cushan are put together as the same place. So actually Midian, the Cushites even lived in Midian. It's like saying, oh, he's a Chinese, but he's an American. Oh, well, he's a Chinese American. You get that? Again, the same type of thing. A Cushite Midianite. Miriam was complaining about Zipporah, the same woman. So we see that from the text. Also, it was again confirmed from extra-biblical material. Patriarchs and Prophets point that out. This was the same woman, but we find it right there in the biblical text. They complained about her. Why did Miriam complain about the Cushite? Some of your Bibles say that. The Cushite, the Ethiopian woman. No question about it. Yes, she was darker of complexion than the Hebrews. True. She was from a different nationality. And Miriam was not very happy that Moses had done that. He had gone and married outside of their own national group. If you looked at your bulletin today, I've used the word that I had to create. I call it ethnicism. Ethnicism. Or ethnicism. I don't know how you want to say it. I thought I would use that word. It isn't as harsh as the other R word. You know what I'm saying? Racism. Yes. Here was a problem of racism. Now, I can speak from experience. Most of you know I was born and raised in and under the racist regime of the Republic of South Africa. Spent 25 years there. I lived in a country where recreational areas, restaurants, even restrooms were segregated. Hospitals, hotels, you name it, they were separated. Park benches, beaches, buses, everything was separated. That's the country in which I grew up. In fact, shops, schools, sports, even places to go sightseeing were segregated and separated. I remember I was shocked, I guess was the best word, when one of the most famous caverns in South Africa, a beautiful labyrinth of limestone caves. Do you know what they did? The apartheid government blasted a separate entrance for those who were not fair enough to go in to the official entrance, the natural entrance to the cave. That's the country in which I grew up. It's incredible. And yes, folks, I, as you know, I'm mixed. I have different nationalities in me, and I've been booted off the bus. I've been beaten up, bruised by a baton-wielding policeman. I've understood to some degree what it means to grow up under this problem of racism. But thank God that even in the dark and dismal days of discrimination, there were consecrated, committed, caring, compassionate, courageous Christians who were out there practicing and preaching what I call the good news of Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, which you well know says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, even during those days, racism is a problem. Incidentally, as you well are aware, this coming week, starting February 2 through February 8, is considered Black History Week here in the United States. And we have the opportunity, the privilege, to share the good news of Galatians 3, verse 28. Sharing and living that way. Now, even though, let's go back to the story of Miriam. Even though Miriam said, "Oh, look at Moses. He married an Ethiopian, a Cushite. Why did he not tell us?" And incidentally, somebody might say, why is she complaining right now? If you look at the chronology of the story, it is very clear that when Moses went into Midian, remember that? When he fled from Pharaoh? All right? He fled when he was around 40. He fled into the Midianite desert. He met Zipporah when he went to work there for, he helped those shepherdesses. He met them. He married Zipporah. And then on the way back to Egypt, when God had sent Moses back to deliver his people, on the way back, and Bible commentators point this out, it appears that on the way, Moses realized that his wife Zipporah, whose name means female bird, she was a very tender, affectionate kind of person. He realized that she could not stand the problems, the difficulties they would go through, and sent her and the two boys back home to her father Jethro. Commentators recognize that happened there, as well as the commentator in Patriarchs and Prophets says they were sent back. So when Moses got back after 40 years back home and he meets Aaron and he meets Miriam, he is not with his wife. Do you see that? And so Miriam had not met Zipporah until, if you look at Exodus chapter 18, and you know the story, turn with me there quickly, Exodus 18, in case you forgot. This is where Exodus 18 picks up. Now, we know that these stories are not altogether in the same chronology because the books are written, but if you read, it explains in the this month, in the that month, when we look at the chronology, we can see that this is what happened. They had already now come out of Egypt, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, leading the slaves out of captivity. And on their way now, just before they're going to reach Sinai, the mountain of God, Horeb, it's called one of those three terms. Exodus 18, verse 1, "And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back." Did you see that? Yes, Moses had sent her back. And of course, he now brings her. Skip to verse 5. "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God." So Jethro now brings Zipporah, and for the first time, it must be a shock. Miriam comes along and says, Moses is married to a dark-skinned woman of another race. This is when she realizes it. For the first time, after 40-something years, he was gone. And of course, Jethro is there, and Miriam doesn't say anything while Jethro is there. She doesn't say anything. Father-in-law is there. And by the end of chapter 18, by the way, we see that Jethro goes back. The last verse of chapter 18, Jethro goes back home. And after he goes home, now the complaints begin. So it is very interesting as you look at the chronology, what was happening. Well, Miriam complained about the Cushite, the Ethiopian woman. But you know what, folks? As is often the case with gossip or with slander, there is a cover-up, a smokescreen for the real issue. Have you ever heard that? People complain about, man, I don't like the way this. And you listen to it and say, but I don't understand why they're complaining about that. And actually, there is a real sub-issue. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just what you can see. But the real issue is below the surface. And now we get to the real issue in verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. The wife was just a side issue. "So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" Stop right there. That was the real issue. She first says, look at the wife he has chosen. Then she says, but come on. Doesn't God speak to us? Do you think God only speaks through Moses? And you wonder now, why is she asking that question? Why has Aaron joined her in it? And if you look at the very previous chapter, chapter 11, you can see the immediate cause for that. Turn back to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 14. Moses is under a heavy burden, folks. And he says, chapter 11, verse 14, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. He's complaining to God. Verse 16, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. And in verse 24, that's exactly what Moses does. He collects another 70 elders. And these elders now, the Lord pours His Spirit out on them. Now this is the immediate reason Aaron and Miriam are not very happy. Because if you go back into chapter 18, already Moses had followed the counsel of Jethro. Remember, Jethro had said, Moses, you got too much work, you got to divide up the work and get some judges. And so Moses had not consulted them then, and Moses had not consulted them now. And jealousy and envy arose. Ethnicism or racism was simply the pretext. The real complaint was that they felt neglected. Ever happened when people say, they're not taking notice of me? And so that's where the spirit of jealousy, evil speaking, arose. And we look at the story. The very next five words after they had made this complaint, has God not spoken through us also? The Bible says nothing about Moses saying a word, but it says five words. And the Lord heard it. Fascinating. Moses was silent throughout this, but it says, the Lord heard it. Interesting, the word heard it there talks about the Lord getting ready for a response. It's not just hearing. Oh yeah, I hear you. No, it's I hear you and I'm ready to do something. I love the Hebrew word there, shama. Speak, Lord, as Samuel said, for your servant heareth. It's not just hearing, it's hearing and I'm ready to do something, as you know. Going back to the book of Samuel, that same word there, the Lord hears it and the Lord is ready to step in to do something about it. And there's an immediate response. Verse 4, suddenly the Lord came to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three of them came out. Now it's a long story. We're going to make it shorter. We're going to look at verse 9. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Another shock. You know, there's an interesting irony. You know the statement, judge not that you be not judged, for with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. Isn't it fascinating and scary? What did Miriam complain about? The dark-skinned woman. And here the punishment for her was that she became white with leprosy. Miriam had wanted to make Zipporah an outcast, and we will soon see Miriam becomes cast out. Oh, what a sad story. But Aaron realizes there's a big problem. Look at verse 11. So Aaron said to Moses, Oh my Lord. It's a phrase that is normally used of addressing God. Oh my Lord. By the way, if Aaron had joined Miriam in complaining, now Aaron realizes there's trouble. He says, Oh my Lord, turning to Moses, please do not lay this sin on us. Notice that. Do not punish us. He's seen what's happened to Miriam, the chief protagonist, the main instigator. Do not lay the sin on us. He continues, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Now, I want to pause here for a moment because we've got to think of ourselves. Have you ever, and be honest, don't raise your hand, but have you ever, someone has come to you with what we call some really juicy gossip. And you listen to it and you justify yourself and you say, well, in your mind, I'm glad I didn't share that. I'm not gossiping. And you know, I was thinking last evening, I said, how many people does it take to gossip? Okay? I would say two to begin with, yes. But you know, I've broadened that. I've expanded that. Last night I changed my mind. It does take two to begin with. The one who shares the story, I'm calling that the gossiper for right now. But there has to be a gossipy. I've never heard of anybody complaining of gossip when somebody simply speaks to him or herself. Have you heard of that? Oh, he's gossiping to the wind. Nobody says that. You know? Gossip always takes two people. Slander always includes more than two, but there's a third person. So there's the gossiper, the one who speaks, the gossipy, the one who listens. And here, Aaron says, we have done foolishly and we have sinned. Isn't that interesting? Aaron recognizes, brothers and sisters, that the one who listens is also implicated in the sin. Yes, the first one who gossips is more to blame, but the one who listens is likewise to blame. And there's a third person, by the way. It's what I call the gossiped. Right? There's always three people. The gossiper, the gossipee, and the gossiped, the one spoken about. Because we don't consider it gossip when I come along and I say, you know, that's a nice piano. Or, oh, that's an ugly piano. Nobody considers that gossip, right? Unless I say, oh, that's a piano that only Brother Katsukwalas would have bought it, you know? And then I'm talking about him. But we think of a third person. So there's the gossipy, the gossiper, who is the one who brings the problem, and the gossiped. And here Aaron says, we have sinned, we have done foolishly. Aaron appeals to Moses, please. And this is the right person to appeal to, by the way. Please notice. Who? The person who was gossiped against. Did you see that? Appeal to the one who was hurt. And I love the rest of the story, my brother and sister. Oh, it's a beautiful end of the story. Verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord. Did you hear that? Who cried to the Lord? The one who was gossiped about. Moses cries out to the Lord and says, please heal her, O God, I pray. Wow. I thought about that, I reflected on that, and I thought, this is a lesson for each one of us today. When people pray, that's P-R-E-Y, did you hear that? When people pray on you, pray, P-R-A-Y, for them. I'm going to say it again, it hasn't sunk in yet. Only one person has agreed so far. I'm going to repeat that. When people pray on you, pray for them. Yes, that's exactly what Moses did here. And I look at that and I say, that's the lesson for us today. But that's not the end of the story yet. I'm cautious here, but because I get courage from the words of Jesus, I'm going to share with you some stronger language. But I want to say the stronger language, hopefully the way Jesus said it. Today we read on the cover, Jesus was saying, brood of vipers. And I believe Jesus used that term with tears in his voice instead of gravel in his throat. I don't believe Jesus said, you brood of vipers, you're going to go to hell. But I see him saying that brood of vipers. He's calling on them. And I see Jesus uses a strong word here. And as I've been reflecting on the problem of language and the use of the tongue, I thought of a gossiper, a gossipy, and the gossiped. And having been in the situation where I've been gossiped about, and I'm sure you have too, it sucks the lifeblood out of you when you hear that you've been gossiped about. Isn't it true? It really brings you low. And I wondered if it would be perhaps fair to classify the gossiper as a vampire. Jesus used the word viper for the illustration. And I see that to some degree we have a vampire, somebody who sucks the lifeblood of people out of people. The one who listens to it, the gossipy, makes me think of a vulture. Once somebody else is down, he comes along and sweeps on and he enjoys listening and eating and participating. Well, he didn't kill that, but so I think of that sometimes if we think seriously, there's the vampire, there's the vulture, and the one who has been gossiped about is the victim. But thank God that God will vindicate. As I look at the story, because the victim, Moses here, turns and says, please heal her. And that's the attitude of the Christian, is it not? We need to pray for those who pray on us. In fact, I'm hoping you will learn that statement. When people pray on you, pray for them. It's only about 8 words. Will you say it with me? When people pray on you, pray for them. Let's do that one more time. When people pray on you, pray for them. When I look at the story of Miriam, and the story is coming to an end, it ends in a glorious way, even though it ends, it also has some sad news. Go to verse 14. Here, after Moses had prayed, O God, I pray, please heal her, look at what happens. the second part of verse 14. God says, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she shall be received again. And I look at that. Shut out of the camp. Excluded. And the very next verse says, so Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. She was excluded. Yes, there was public punishment for the evil of envy and the shameless sin, the shameful sin of slander. But the text says, Miriam was shut out, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And to me, that is a wonderful ending of our story. Because why? What do we mean Miriam was brought in again? Oh yes, she was restored to the community. She was brought back by the grace of God. Open your bulletins now. I want you to notice a beautiful statement in there that helps to capture the essence of this kind of a God. Yes, God wants us to control our tongues. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're human beings and sometimes we fail to do that. Sometimes we're the victims of gossip and we need to pray for people who prey on us. But there's the good news that God can cleanse. Look at the statement there. The second part says, as leprosy was sure death if permitted to take its natural course, so the leprosy of sin would destroy the soul unless the sinner received the healing grace of God. Yes, God can and will cleanse and will change our lives. And as I look at the story of Miriam, the rest of the story we find, Miriam now remained with the children of Israel for many years. From there, of course, the very next chapter, the spies are sent into Canaan. You know that. They've just been traveling. This is their second year. The spies go in, and for the next 37 years, Miriam remains with them. She has been brought back into the camp, back to her work, and Miriam is part of them. And it was the last year as they were there ready to go into Canaan, the first month of the last year, that Miriam passes away, approximately 134 years of age. So Miriam, by God's grace, was brought back in. When I look at this story, I am so grateful that God is a gracious God. Be frank, I think virtually, if I asked people to raise their hands today, I'm sure almost everybody would raise their hand and say, yes, I've been guilty of gossip. And I see people, isn't that true? Yes, we've all done that. But by God's grace, we can be forgiven. More important is also how we respond to the one who speaks about us. What is the saying for today? When people pray on you, pray for them. Can you say that with me? When people pray on you, pray for them.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.